הגויים עם שלום קמנצקי, שליטה.
בשוס חושב ההנהולה, בשוס בני הישיבה, בשוס כל הכל הקודש הזה. First thing that needs to be addressed is, what am I doing here exactly? I was a Talmud of the yeshiva. I didn't live in Kiryat Malka to have a shaychus to a yeshiva Rabbi Chiya Zatzal. But I can't say, I'm proud to say, that I consider myself a Talmud muvok. For some reason or another, he took a liking to me, not b'schusi, not b'schus avoisai. And he called me for a long tkufa, at least once a month. We spoke extensively. Speaking about the matziv, speaking about an issue, to ask me if there's anything I could do about anything, on the akotin, to hear my father's opinion. Obviously, as an alumnus of Philadelphia Yeshiva, that wasn't the schus, schus avoisai. But more than anything else, it was hayro'o. It was chinuch. It was hayro'o's derech, showing a way to go, understanding that I may voice have been some kind of klikibul, ready to hear what he had to say, and try the best to absorb and to hear hadroche. Thought to myself, what can I say to try to appreciate this person? Every time he saw me personally, speak to him. He embraced me. Gave me chizuk. And the ability to stand over here and say Dibrei Zikaron, besides the Guf HaDover, it's my ability, my chance to say Hodoya, to thank him publicly. A Koras HaTov is boundless, just appreciation. I rethought many conversations. What does one say? How does one shear? Obviously, many of them are not to be sheared. Many Yonim, Chshuvim, Adinim, Tzmiim. Thought to myself, the koyma, the balkoyma of this person, just an appreciation of what it means to be an Odom Godel. An Odom Godel, what does it mean? You speak about an Odom Godel, it's used, it's bandied about all the time, it's used very frequently, it's misused, abused. But here we can speak about someone known as an Odom Godel. Let's try our best to be Magdir. In our own words, if one were to see a person walking down the street with extremely long feet and a shorter body, tall, with very high feet, totally disproportionate, tall, looks big, he's a Balmum, he's not an Odom Godel. If one were to see a person walking down the street with longer arms, very long hands, and his body small, it's a Balmum, long hands, out of proportion. A body very, very big, very tall, but a smaller head, it's again disproportionate. A small body, small hands, small feet, and an oversized head. A balmum. More often than not, we think we see people, anoshim ketanim, with oversized heads. We tend to call them anoshim gedolim. Very often, balimum. In Odom Godel is a person who's proportionate. Yodov, raglov, roishoy, liboy. Large feet, large hands, large heart, and great head. The Yeshiva Zal was an Odom Godel. Proportionately great. The Kopi given Adla Hafli, brilliant. Somebody, nothing he didn't know, clearly, very clearly, articulate. He spoke well, he explained well, he absorbed well. The heart he given off, and he had an open heart, there was nobody who didn't mean something to him. And he showed it. He embraced you. There was also things that pushed the Shalom Aleichem. It was an embrace when he gave you Shalom Aleichem. The feet, the hands, both the feet, to go where he had to go, to not go where he was not supposed to go, to understand where to be and where not to be, that's the feet of an Odom Godel. Above all, the Klei HaMaisa, Anish HaMaisa, the hands of Klei HaMaisa, inconsistent with everything else, in proportion with everything else, that's an Odom Godel. That proportion of Lev Pasuach, Reish Pasuach, Reglaim v'yadayim v'doylois. You're talking about, that's an Odom Godel. We're trying our best to be magdir, how Chazal are magdir, what it means an Odom Godel. We hear now the consistency. It's big proportionately. It's a midah benefesh. We hear the terms as a godel b'toyer, as a godel b'yirah, as a godel b'maisa. An Odom Godel is a person whose midah is a midah of shagadlus. It's not a question of relative size, larger and smaller. It's a midah benefesh. This godless is a midah benefesh. Let me share with you what Chazal speak. So Shalom in Brochus. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chavlifter, Mashiach to Rabbi Meir, Kumi Tzipoyloi. He spoke about Rabbi Meir in front of the Bnei Tzipoyloi and he said, Odom Godel, Odom Kodosh, Odom Tzanua. It was Magdi Rabbi Meir in front of the Bnei Tzipoyloi saying these three things. Odom Godel, Odom Kodosh, Odom Tzanua. Kodosh is clearly defined. Kedusha, a person who's matpik, holdovash of Kedusha, a person who's kind of divya Ramban, Amutoloi, Tzanua, some of you all could relate to what it means in Adam Tzanua, Ish Tzanua, Tzanua, Bemaisov, Tzanua, Bediburov, Tzanua, Becholtahali Choysov, obviously it's understood. Adam Godel. Also, that's an Adam Godel. No definition given besides Adam Godel. Proportionately big. Also, that's Adam Godel. Words of Chazal. So Chazal do use the term Adam Godel without giving you much of a hint of understanding what it is. In other Medrash, Medrash Pashas Vayesh Chayisor, it says, Fatisa Rivka Seinia Hovateres Yitzchok. Om Rav Huna, Tzofos Sheyodo Ishtucha Betfila. She saw that his hands were stretched in Tfila. Om Rav, she said, Vaday Adam Godel Hu. Tos is an Adam Godel. Vaday Adam Godel Hu. Rashi in Spat Medrash says the words Rosa Yodish Tucha Benidu Lo Kiyat Odom Hogan Vechoshev. She saw the hands Shatuch Betfila. She says Odom Zetchan Odom Godel. Odom a glatter mensch, straight person. What exactly does it mean? The fact that she sees Yodish Tucha Betfila and she Odom get an Odom Godel. What did she see? The hands that she saw Shtuch Betfila. The concept of Yadayim Shtucha is Betfila. It's a concept we find many places. Vahi Yoda Vemuna, Advay Hashem Mishtakim says, Vahi Yidoi, praise a bit sloy. His hands were porous with tefillah. One place. Other places, wherever Chazal have the chance, Sasi Kapai, the tefillah, said, see his Kapai, the tefillah. Shlomo HaMelech, it says, he was Kapo Prusi HaShomayim, Mishas Filosoi. The Kapai, the Prusis, the tefillah. The Yodayim. So the fact is a concept of Yadayim Prusas B'tfila is something we find in Chazal very often. The question, what's the Odom Godel? What is it supposed to mean? We say, I see this Yodov Shtucha B'tfila, that's an Odom Godel. It's an Odom, a grace of names. That Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the famous Mishnah, V'chi Yodov Shalom She'oisei S'mulchoma, She'oivei S'mulchoma, Lo'im Uloch She'kozman, She'isol Mestakim Ka'vimai, Lo'im Shavdim Aslim Lavim She'ashamayim, if not, Cholila Fakert. Those same Yodoi Prusois, Yodoi Prusoi Nitzloi, the Prusos Betfila, as the Tagim teaches this, those are the Yodayim that Klai Yisrael sees, and it's those Yodayim that we say Klai Yisrael's Meshabbat is Nibla Bamisho Vashamayim. So then before Hashem deal with this, explain what is this supposed to mean, all kinds of Mahalchim. There are those that take the Mishnah and say, on the contrary, we say the fact that he was poros b'shamayim b'tfilosov is because of the Klai Yisrael's Ishtabdus Alev, not the language of the Mishnah indicating that it was the Yadayim Prusais that caused the Ishtabdus Alev. It wasn't that. Ishtabdus Alev was Goyim, the Sias Yadayim. The discussion, the Mephoreshim speaking about Abal Tfila, takes his Koyich from the Tzibur. But Pashas, the Mishnah is describing exactly what it says. This concept of Yodov Prusais Hashomoyimu, Yodoi Proisi b'tzloi, and that was when they looked up to those hands were hands that were, they see it, or Meshabed Maslibom. Not simply raised hands, but something about the hands, the tzura, the tefillah, of this tefillah which is called Yodoi, Pusas HaShamayim, that's what we're talking about, something which was Meshabed Maslibom HaShamayim. What does that mean? The advice to us is tefillah and this tefillah. This tefillah which is yidavin, the feeling yidavin for others, yidavin for ourselves, ha'avoy de tzorech gavoya, tefillah is there because we understand, shechinta begalusa, Someone who is sog, the tefillah is ma'ir. And of course, a person could daven, daven lo shiraven, to be called lolos b'tefillah also. It's not just a bakoshes yochel, it's a bakoshes sibur, it's for the klal. We always constantly understand there's a concept of tefillah that we include all in the tefillah. We want to have that. There's a tzuras tefillah which is yodo prusas ha-shamayim. We say the taichas that this word, this tefillah, is a dover ha-mishabed. It's something which includes. Klai Yisrael could be mistakulat ois in your dime and understand that tefillah is something I'm part of. It's inclusive. It pulls me in. Calls man she mistakun klap in mind, they see these yodayim, prusas ha-shamayim, there's a gefil, there's a feeling that we say, this is here, and these are hands that include me. They want me to grow. They pick me up. It's a tefillah which brings ishtablus alev shel klai Yisrael avilim shel shamayim. That's called yodayim prusas ha-shamayim. Hands which include, hands which pick up, hands which are meremim. They don't let a person stay shiflusa, bekatnusa. The midah benefesh of your dying process is, it's something that picks others up. It's never in the kudu. I can say that time and again, I felt that every time I met the Rosh Hashiva Zalab in Eden, there's no such thing as, I felt merumam. I felt the difference. I felt something special. That's your dying process, Hashemayim. That's an Odom Godel. The Dover Poshut. Talking about those, that tefillah, that point over there, the famous Ramban, the Spat and Pashas B'Shalach, talks about Yeshavim is Yodayim, and he says in the Pirkei Rabbelezer, V'atam Shetzivas, Moishes Yeshu, Lelochem Amolek, V'vosh Yispal Hu, B'Nesiyas Kapayim, Arosh Agiva. You make the Mechome, I'll be B'Rosh Agiva, B'Nesiyas Kapayim, and he stresses that. V'gam Him Yiru, Yisai, Poyres, Kap of Hashamoy, Mamar, B'Tfila. Repeats a third time, Poyres, Yodol, V'Shamayim, V'im Porsen, As Yodayim, L'Shamayim. It's not sufficient, I'm picking up my hands, it's not sufficient, my tefillah for you. There's a priestess, Yodayim L'Shamayim, that causes you, and encourages you, picks you up, it's meraiming you to become something different. The midah benefesh of godless isn't simple to be proportionately big and caring. It's to pick someone else with it. As godlecha, zumi das tufcha, Zashi says, Pashas Vaschan, it's something called an Odom godless, a person that the midah benefesh embraces, makes someone feel different, and understands the tachlis, shows the tachlis. And it says over there, Chazal Beit Tachlifa, where Meshabeach, they spoke about Reb Meir. Spoke about Reb Meir, Bosi Givin at Reb Meir, Bosi Givin at Reb Meir. Yet, Samua, Kodosh, all of the above, Bosi Rasodim Godl. Who's Zetin Reb Meir, the godless? The Dov Poshut. I'll be the Gemara in Erev, and the Gemara says like this. You will tell us in Erev about Reb Meir's godless. Reb Meir was a genius par excellence. We couldn't pass him to Reb Meir b'chol mokim shet in Gemara because he was able to be retired at home, retired at her, it was just not shaykh. What was Reb Meir? What was Reb Meir? Mashal explains there that it wasn't as if it was wasted. And Reb Meir's mitzias a given that once he was mar lechaveirav ponim lekan ponim lekan ponim lekan, they were able to now be done. How to be machlid aloche? Reb Meir's mitzias shel toyer your mitzias that we couldn't use it poshet kipshuta it tapaskin. It was there for tamid chachom to take from, to absorb, to see more from. That's what it was about. It was about the question of including others. Might stodim, my mishaylis, ich bin ish machli ludina, but might stodim is opeseich asarish. Chelko shel Reb Meir's Torah zot k'ma shol afanot was about someone else being oimid. Someone else is being oimid to be yoyd l'sev daik nishol as oimid nishol asugya. Of course, mishabeich lefnei b'nei tzipoy Reb Meir, odom godol hu, kadlusa b'toyre, kadlusa b'tfile. Person over the Rashi was there, odom godol. The proportion was mishunadik. The Gladkeit was Meshunadik, but never left for himself. Nishtam a grace of heart, a grace of cup, a grace of foot, a grace of hand. It was Yodayim Prusas HaShomoyimu. His Metzius was to embrace and to include others. That was his Metzius. I have to point out that the whole Metzius, you stood in his Dalai Ramis, it was more, it poured over. Hurt my Zayde, Sechet Tzadok Levrocha, used to speak about his two Chaverim, the Reuven and the Baron. He spoke about the chiluk, the hevel between Rebbe and Rebbe Aaron. Both goyne yoylam, goyne yoylam. He said very different. So Rebbe Aaron, he said it was a mashpia, was a shipua. It was mashpia. It poured over. Came. It's a tachibi gegosin for them. Ibi gegosin for them. That's what it was. In his shir, you had to be an ilu mitzahalten to be with his shir. But you stood in his dalai lamas. You felt it. You felt as you say the adas. You felt as you say the achayim. He said, "They're moving with Sadsheni Kiyadu is the chazir with Chavrus." Time and again, the Shir to say B'daikonis every word he's going to say in Shir. Vitas the Bocha Besef Ashtein. He was the Mechanch par excellence. That was a Reuven's Gadlus. They zok the chilik to the tata mame. A mame in shtub, a mother in the home is a mashpia. Of course, she's Mechanch as well. But more Vishayim, she's not Mechuyi Bechinuch. She's there. Her presence is there, which is felt. It exists. You feel it. She's mashpia. Atat mitzad sheini, he says, is a mechanich. He walks in, do this, that, and the other is off and running. He says what you're supposed to be doing. That's what Magdad is too. In the Rashi was all about the gezena, but Shmuel Shulman the gezach. The grace kind, the breath kind, the fact that breath of the person was such that you felt this hashpo. He took from his Rebbe the Baran's atzal, and there was a mitzias of hashpo. His whole mitzias exuded. How Mahalach HaChaim was. He took from his Rebbeim, he took from his Messiahs, from his own Mishpacha, from his wife's Mishpacha, he took it all of an amalgam, a Mishunadik and Mizug of Koiches Mishunis. Besides the carpet, the Seivul Givat, he was able to take so much, but he lived it. He breathed it, and it was the Mechanach par excellence. Odom Godel, and there was Poiris Yodav Rishonayim. Odom Godel was first and picks it up. Rivki's woman Asoda, she's Yitzchok Masuich Asoda. She sees the Yod of Shtuches Hashamayimah. She's a Yitzchok Avinu. Versteht das Anodim Godel. Those hands Shtuches L'Shamayim are more in the fact that indeed there's something over here which is called Mishulim D'Godim Godel. They say a Meise. The Reuven once came to visit the Chaim Meise. He spoke with him for a bit of a while. After he walked there, he said, "Adult is Anodim Godel." Chaim Moises Atzal was an Odom Godel. We knew his goyness was not shaykh. When he walked in the Taitch, he felt the fact that the mitzias from the mensch wasn't limited. It was a midah benefesh. He wasn't Godel bazeh, bazeh ba'acher. A midah benefesh that there's nothing here. That won't embrace, that won't pick up, that won't bring someone else into my orbit. Nothing at all. Like I say, I can't thank the Rashiv enough for giving the opportunity both to hear from him clear, Dvorim Brurim, a certain amount of sense of hadroche, sense of you know, where to think, where to focus, where to make things out to others. Talking about in Odom Hagodol Ba'anokim. In Odom Hagodol Ba'anokim, it's talking about Chazal speak, it's talking about Avram Avinu. Odom Hagodol Ba'anokim, the Taitch is Kol Kulei Chesed, Kol Kul Fayenim. In no way being ever Mevatir, or what he came from, or what he stood for, and what he represented. Baruch Hashem, zoyche to have a yeshiva that took from him and absorbed from him a mishpacha chashuva that continues to take and carry on that legacy. If you just sit back and to recall the koyma and how there was no such thing which wasn't inclusive of everybody else in his orbit, that wasn't something which included every person to become nischanich and hushpa mishpacha chinuchoy, to take advantage. Something of these calls man and the Zechreinus and the Chaim is his life. He's going to live. He lives on in Mitzvah Hashem. He's Zechrei Baruch.
Rav Goyen, Rabbi Solzi, Nekrasleta.
ויצא יעקב מבאר שבע וילך חרונה. זאת רשי מגיד שיציא צדק מן המקום עושה רושם. When a tzaddik leaves a place, there is a void. Shebezman shat tzaddik be'ir, hu hoida, he is the glory, hu ziva, the splendor, hu hadora, its beauty. Yotze misham, when the tzaddik leaves, Pona hoida, the hoid leaves. Pona ziva, pona hadora. The yeshiva, a beautiful yeshiva. I remember coming when the yeshiva stood on Virginia and claimed place. Today, a beautiful yeshiva. But I look to my right, and I see this little table and this chair, and I say to myself, the hoid, the ziva, the hadora of the yeshiva has left us. Maral, the Guralye, elaborates a little on these three between Hoid, Ziva, and Hadoro. He brings from Psukim. He says, the Tzaddik is Madrich the ear. In Hoida, that is Yiras Elokim. When we would stand next to the Rosh Yeshiva, talk to him for a few moments, you could feel there is a Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The world is not Hefker. Hoida. Ziva, he says, is Chochma. The Chochmah we learn from the Rosh Yeshiva. Chochmah Satoira. Chochmah Sachayim. Pona Ziva. Hadora. What is Hadora? He says that's the Midas Tovis. The Tzaddik is Madrich the Ear. The beautiful Midas Tovis of the Rosh Yeshiva. The tzaddik to the ear is what the Rosh Yeshiva is to the yeshiva. And again I look and I feel Pona Hoda, Pona Ziva, Pona Adora. But in Mitzvah Hashem, it will come back. We will have to fill this void. And we can do it. The Rosh Hashiva once spoke about the Chazal that say Yecheved was Nolda Ben Hachomus. Ledosa Mitzrayim and Herosa was not in Mitzrayim. What is the significance? It said that sometimes when there is a transformation, a matziv, we need a bridge, someone who can bridge the gap and connect the Ovar to the Osid.
The Yidden were leaving Eretz Canaan, coming into Eretz Mitzrayim. A new generation will be born in Mitzrayim. Who can connect them? We need someone that's part here, part there. She, Yocheved, is now the Ben Achimus. She could be that bridge. Daiti, the Rosh Hashiva, we had a schus, all of us had here a schus of being together under the Hashpah of someone who was born nearly 100 years ago. He grew up in America, a house of a Slabotke Talmud, Rabbi Nachum Mendel. And he was nurtured through his years by Gedolei Olam, Rabbi Aaron, Zichron Levracha, the Zeder Rabbi Avraham Yafin, and Avi Moiri. And he was able to absorb the Torah and the Ruach of pre-war Europe. But on the other hand, he was an American boy, born in Ozon, Queens. Exposed to all that America represented in the eyes. It was baseball, money, and the pursuit of a good time. He could be the bridge that gapped the generations. And that's who he was. Able to give over to Talmidim, to connect Talmidim to a different generation. Because he had absorbed that, it was part of him. Even though he was American, he really had the flavor, he had the European flavor, it was in him. And he was able to reach the American Bucher and imbue in him the Torah of values. You can say on him also, he was Noyled Bein HaChemos. But Emerson, it's a little more, a little deeper than I heard from my father, Zichron Levracha, who would say, in the Nusach of Kaddish de Rabbonon, we say, Al Rabbonon, Val Talmidei Hain, Val Talmidei Salmidei Hain. And he asked, the Talmidei Salmidei Hain also have a Rebbe. So it's Rabbanan and Talmidei Hain. What is Talmidei Talmidei Hain? It's just Rabbanan and Talmidei. So he said, sometimes we have a Rebbe that can give over to his Talmidim what he learned from his Rebbeim, that it's Ki'ilu they were learned by the first Rebbe. That's Talmidei, the Talmidei, Samidei. Rashiva Zichron Levracha, Rabbi Chiel, was able to give over the Talmidim, Kilu, the way my experience has seen, he talked about Navardic, like they were Navardic, that they had Shaychus Talmidei Navardic. They like they heard the Shir of Abaron. It's a gewaldic koyach, his koyach of tzio. He was able to picture like an artist does with a paint, he did with his mouth. He was able to picture, draw this picture of the previous generation, and he was able to give it over to the Talmid. Mitzad echod, the Dor HaOvar, Mitzad Sheni, the Dor HaBo. But Bamison, everything about Rabbi Chiel, Rosh Hashiva, everything he encountered, he was able to see from two sides. I'd like to tell you a story. I had a baba, my grandmother, the daughter of the altar from the Vardok. This happened in Europe. A bocher came to Yeshiva Bialystok. He wanted to come to the Yeshiva. Derech Ha'olam, you go into Rosh Yeshiva's house to meet Rosh Yeshiva. This bocher comes in, walks into the house, the Rebbetzin, and he says that he's coming from Raden. He was learning in Raden, and he came here. He wants to learn here. So the Baba Rebbetzin Yafin turns to him and says, "Ich verstehe nicht, I don't understand. You're coming from Raden. You have the Chofetz Chaim. Why are you coming here?" The bracha was quiet, and she said, "I'll tell you why you're coming here. Because in Raden, you learned, you saw what a person can become. But here we will teach you who you are." Gewaldig, gewaldig. This was Rabbi Chiel, the Rosh Yeshiva. He could take a bocher and imbue in him, tell him all the beautiful things and build him up, you can become this and this. But on the other hand, he could tell it the way it really is. He could tell it him right in his face. You could do both. You can be, but you are this. In Emerson, like I said, this double, I don't want to use that, dual personality, but it's not the exact word, but to be able to look at things both ways, we see it throughout his life. He was able to take Slabotka and Vardik, you know, these are two different concepts, come on, and put them together. He could see the Slabotka and Vardik. The royalty, the regalness of Slabotka, and the pashtus and the Vardik. By the way, I have my own, I guess I have certain negias about the Vardik. I always found, you know, people have this impression of Vardikers up with sour faces, but the Vardik I met were all happy people, really. Very, I mean, you don't know the names of Yitzhak Olensky, Brutzimbruch, Bianca Galinsky. I met very happy, happy people. They were very zufrieden to mention. In fact, I once heard that the Alter von Vardik once said that in his life he only met one zufriedener Mensch, one really happy person. And he said that was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He was really happy. And the Zayde, Ravam said, and I met another very happy person, and that was the Alter von Vardik. And my father said he met another very happy person, that was Ravam Yafin. And Rosh Hashiva said he met another happy person. And I want to tell you, I met a very happy person, and that was the Rosh Hashiva. You know, some people, he liked life. He loved life. He was zufrieden. A zufriedener Mensch. This Mizug. could take more. Slobodka and the Bardic together. Another, he was an ish moyach, a mensch with a kop, a head, a thinking person, a deep thinking person, analytical, but an ish regish, a man with emotion. Could have, you would think maybe they don't stim. I'd like to call it maybe. He was a very realistic person and at the same time romantic. I'd like to tell you, show you a little bit that one time I really felt the emotion coming out of the Rosh Yeshiva's mouth, his heart. It was 50 years ago at least. We were in Yerushalayim. We were younger then. Shiva was a young, it was near Eretz Yisrael. We were staying by my shvoger, my sister, the Shmulevitz, Ram Shmulevitz. It was on a Shabbos. It was Shabbos after Shalashudis. We went down. And we had to go to shul across the street. And Yerushalayim wasn't as full as it is today. You can't move. But it was nice. It was. And we saw little Yingalach, Yerushalayim children, the Pealach, and some little girls with the Tznius Kleidalach, playing. And I remember Ada Yoyim, Rabbi Chiel saying to me, the Pasuk in Zechariah, he says, I'll quote the pasuk before, and then we'll get. Koyama Hashem Tzvokis. He's talking about the future. Oid Yeshu Skeinu Luskeinu is Berchayus Yerushalayim. There will come a time again when we will have the old Skeinim and Skeinis in the streets of Yerushalayim. The Ish Mishante Biyodai, each man with his old staff, his old stick, old cane. May Rav Yamim from old age they're living long lives. And the streets will be full with Yelodim Vilodois, with boys and little children, boys and girls. Mesachkim Berchavaseh, playing in the streets of Yerushalayim. And he watched it and he said, look, these children, how beautiful. Yelodim Vilodois in Rechavas of Yerushalayim. And tears were going down his thing. I never saw him. That was, and I'll always remember that emotion, that gewaltic emotion. I'd like to almost end with when they were very young, Rosh Yeshiva and my sister, Zolzayin Gebod L'chaim Tovim, they were a young couple, and there were a Ram Yafin in the house for bringing, and they got, it was maybe Friday night. And the Zeta says to them, young couple, they should go out for a walk. And he said this Lashon, spaziert und fantasiert. Go out for a walk and fantasize, dream, have big dreams. Now they went out. I didn't check with my sister. I don't know what the dreams were, but I picture they were dreaming of one day opening, building a beautiful yeshiva. A yeshiva like we see today. That was the dream. And the dream became a reality. We have such a beautiful yeshiva. But I want to turn now to the bachurim in yeshiva and tell you something. The crown jewel of the Rosh Yeshiva from his whole life was the yeshiva. This is the crown jewel. What is a yeshiva? We have to remember. Now, a few years ago, we were zeicha to get this video of the Chofetz Chaim at the coming to the Knesset Gedolah. You see the picture all over with the hands. This picture was taken. Knesset Gedolah. But do you know, what did he speak at the Knesset Gedolah? What did the Chofetz Chaim say at this Knesset? I'll tell you. I saw this in Kolkore reading. When he spoke at the Knesset Gedolah, he was an old person already, very schwach. And after he spoke, Reb Meir Shapiro, the Baal Daf Yomi, was an orator. He got up and he said over to the Olam what the Chofetz Chaim had spoken. Chofetz Chaim said as follows. He gave a mashal. He says, they asked me here to come to speak. Klal Yisrael is shvach now. They need truth and we need refuas. What can we do for Klal Yisrael? That's the purpose of the Asifa here. The Atikness here. He said, mashal, I guess the medical field was a little different then, but he gave a mashal with the medical field. There was a chayla who was suffering from many different maladies. His lungs weren't good, his kidneys, a bunch of problems. And they're in the operating room or in the doctor's room, and the doctors are doing different things. And suddenly the head doctor said, this is the head doctor, he says, the chief, he says, the Chofetz Chaim said, says, oi, the doifik, the pulse is not working. Stop everything. We have to get the pulse working again. We have to put the medication to have the way he says, the blood should run in the whole stream, the blood. Everything else stops. Chofetz Chaim said, the pulse of Yidden, our pulse is Torah. Limud HaTorah, that's the pulse. We have to get that pulse moving. Everything else will follow. But the pulse is Limud HaTorah. I know you're going to hear drushes, you all heard drushes and read beautiful articles about all the Gevaldik and Zachen. But Bochum and Yeshiva have to know, we're now before Shavuos, the Yesoid is, our pulse is Limud HaTorah. And we have to mechazik, versteht sich, you have to have all the other inyonim also, but not to forget that the Iker is Limud HaTorah. And if we mechazik in Limud HaTorah, this will be a schus for the Rosh Yeshiva Yizich Reborach.
Chosen by Rabbanim, Amir Chachamim, First thought coming to make a sefer zichrei of Rosh Hashiva zichetav lebracha is Rosh Hashiva was always the reach in a kovod. He didn't seek it. And I didn't want it. So, what are we doing? Just taking advantage? But then this is that at the same time, and really for the same reason, it also didn't scare him, it didn't bother him when he got that cover. I think perhaps an appropriate tushel would be a maaser that happened. Satoya and Masir were bothering the yeshiva. And it was time for the 25th anniversary dinner. So the yeshiva decided that because of this mortification milestone, everybody should come, even the bachur from yeshiva. Step out of the ordinary process. So I thought that was a chiddush and asked questions about it. I don't remember exactly, maybe made a little tunnel. So the Rashida himself got involved and addressed the question. I think it was maybe by one of the Bazin, but it was Ben Tzibur. And he was not there that Yeshiva has an achrayus to teach the Bachar is not just Torah, but also Midas Tavis. And of course, it's important to me the Zakaras HaTavis. And he said parents also have this, that they can teach Zakaras HaTavis to everybody, but when it comes to teaching Zakaras HaTavis to the children about themselves, about parents, so it's very hard for them to mum that HaKaras HaTayyib for themselves. And he says in Yeshiva it's very hard to mum HaKaras HaTayyib for Rebbein. But really, that's what we need to do. Because we need to teach you. So B'derech Klal we don't do it. But once in a while, to have that Rebbein to come to such an occasion, it would be proper. In his minimal way, he took those lessons. And that's why it's appropriate to stand here as a part of the Kavod HaAchrim and give that Kavod where he doesn't want it, but he doesn't want us to give it. It's such an exclusive to be invited back to yeshiva here. And this yeshiva, the yeshiva is the people. The yeshiva is the entity, the hanhala. And of course, Rosh Yeshiva, Techetzad and Bracha. Yeshiva built the yeshiva. I spoke for Talmud in Lakewood, tried to get over a little bit what it means. A yeshiva. Everybody goes to yeshiva. But there's something special happening. A yeshiva is not just the Torah, and not just Seder Rabbacha and Seder Moser, Yeshiva is also Abuya Samoser. Yeshiva is also a davening, and a davening is a davening. We're excited to come to davening. Everybody, at least above a certain age, remembers Rashida's davening. Remembers with emotion. The yeshiva is not just a place that operates every day of the week, and even on Simchas Torah and Shavuos, and of course Yom Kippur. But it's also, we found out, a place that operates on Pesach, and Sukkot, and every Shabbos. The yeshiva is not just a place where the bachurim who were registered in yeshiva who go to the shiurim are part of the yeshiva. The yeshiva includes the community and the neighbors, and certainly people who are working for a living who also want to be part of yeshiva. And they are part of yeshiva. And everybody feels that they are. Important feeling to get it over. I see some faces looking at me like, this is all pashut. Yeah. I'm talking about Torah. Yeshiva's excitement for Torah, for a good vort, for a tikkah havamah. Didn't hear that many shiurim from him, but the shiur was opinion, and it was a beautiful edifice. And it was with a tiefkeit, that same tiefkeit that he had in every area of life. That tiefkeit was in the shir, in the vart, and simchus hatoyr, that was clear. He once, when they were printing Rabbanan shiurim, the Mishnah Sudarians were coming out one by one, so somebody had sent him an unprinted copy many years before it came out, Mishnah Sudarians Sudas, and he brought it once to Miss Medrash because he was excited to show us. He picked up a group of pages. He said, look, one share is 30 pages. Nine is a sheer. He's still living with that excitement. For the Torah. When it was once in Gaya, he was telling us what it meant around his sheer. In the winter, it was Wednesday Shabbos at 8 o'clock. And in the summer, it was on Shabbos at 5 o'clock. So, after the shir, and the other would break up into groups, and there would be chayzrin, people would say over the shir. And just to give us a picture, he said, but we didn't, it was on Shabbos. Nobody was able to take notes. But they said over the shir. And it wasn't such a coolness to say over the shir. Even I said it sometimes over. Rashida is a needless, you can hear his voice. This is a very important Nakuda. Something called the Tsoifa. The Nevi'im are Tsoifa. Tsoifa is a person who stands on a mountain and looks around and sees in the distance, far away, far and deep. The yeshiva was a visionary. We heard about the yeshiva building the yeshiva. It came from vision, to be able to see, not just deep, but far.
Way back, that he once heard somebody saying
that he called someone, a young person, Rachel Nine. She said, I've been working for 50 years on this. But he said, today it's very hard to say such a compliment about somebody so young. He said, Bachurim are full of kleinigkeiten. And the male Bachur is 15 or 16, or 14 or 15. But the Bachur is 19 or 20 is still worried so much about his chavrusa and his makom. Okay, we have to think about that, but this is what this way said. He was too big for Kleinigkeiten. And he wanted us to be big also. And what he told us was that this is a question of Yiras Shamayim. He had answers to every question. But enlightening answers, new ways of thinking of it. Yeah. I remember once someone sent me to ask him, he felt he had a geneva from somebody who was impossible to determine who it was. Not who in town, but who in the world. What should he do? So I guess there's Shiva. So the Rishina said, you should give tzedakah. So he said, state. I said, but it's a child of the whole world. He said, maybe it's possible to find a tzedakah organization that can benefit the entire world. But he said then, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yad HaDishmaya. If a person really sincerely wants to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be giving him an opportunity. And then, of course, he had a story to go with it. There was someone in town who used to visit an elderly person who was stuck in his house and would visit on Shabbos morning for davening. And one time this person said to him, took me out to the table. Zayin is like good. Make me a glass of kapha lasser. Do me a favor, please. Could you bring me a glass of cold water? And the visitor, an old person himself, had a flashback. 80 years ago, when he was a little boy growing up in Varsha, when he was 7 years old, and there was a man who slept on the street who said to him, Tobia, Tobia, Zayin is a good man, and I was in the Kalpadasa. And he went on. And he remembered that these same words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him the opportunity now to tshuva on some level. Rishina shall tshuva that ma'aseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him a chance for tshuva. And then there should be another point. Always another insight. And always not embarrassed to talk about himself. And he said, when he was 7 years old, he was once, he had like a toy gun or something. And there was a bird perched on a branch, and he shot it, and the bird fell down. And he thought maybe it flew away, he went to look. He couldn't believe what happened, that was not what he meant to do. But then he found the dead bird on the floor, and he felt so bad. And he buried the bird. He said, it still bothers him now as he's speaking about it. He said, maybe I learned from that to be speak more of the Balaram. He was saying that that's another point. A person has to at least take a lesson from realizing the mistake that he made to be able to see where it could help his future. This is how we felt always with Rishiva, Zechetzav of the Bracha. Landeinu Orchus Chaim, he had so much Orchus Chaim to teach us. And he spoke to us as young brethren about everything. Because he wanted us to be big. And to be mature. And to know what life's about. So he spoke to us about the stories of Shalom Bayis that people called him up. Whatever he was able to say over in cases when nobody would know who he's talking about. But we really saw his own Shalom Bayis, of course. Hashiva, Yibadu L'chaim, the Rebbe. We knew took Rosh Yeshiva, not just as a husband, but also as a Rosh Yeshiva. And not just as a Rosh Yeshiva, but also as a husband. And we saw it. And we knew that we were Tamidim also. And she was there for us, for whatever we needed or wanted. But she even taught us about neighbors and bosses and employees and fights. He was teaching us about Musr. That without Musr, it doesn't go. That's what he wanted us to know. He loves saying over the Goyim. Hafid Musr al Terek and Jerk, he chayecha. Going to Mishlei. Dalit says, Ki Masha Ha'otam Chayim Hu Kidei Mishvar Masha Loi Shogar Adhena. Masha Loi Shogar Adhena Oysa Yamita Lochein Tzorich Tomid Yitzchazik Milo Yitzchazik Lomo Loi Chayim. Person needs Moser, otherwise Lomo Loi Chayim. What's life worth for him? It's Marco Lepune. I remember once we came from Lakewood. There was a young friend of ours, married with children, who was very sick. And said there was Nasifa. For his chus, for the full shlema. And the Rashid spoke, what do you say about such nasifa? Someone say, Apim Kher Khadu, Nachtach Shavar Shalabu, Mighty Action Arachamim. Or maybe you talk about the Mark Sudas, how they davened for Rabbeinu HaKadosh, even when things look so bleak. But what Rashid said was that a person lives for this youngness, and that's called life. Real life is when life is hard, and then you're a chai marriage in the field. And this person was going through such a painful time and treatments. He was living a real life. And that was his chus.
generation in general. Not that he had a problem talking about Misa. He almost enjoyed it. But this is really part of the same vision and clarity and reality. It didn't stir him. I know sometimes I can talk like that to Talmidim and they shrek. But it was just another stage. It was part of a cheshbon that he was living his whole life, that everyone lives their whole life, and they have to keep in mind. Remember, you're telling us as a savior. Mari Yahweh tells you exactly what the steps are.
The goal is not to capture or text Rosh Hashiva. But to add a little bit to the portrait, to remember him by, and to learn from him. Rosh Hashanah once went to Menachem Rojo, a man whose father had had a new son. And he said to the other that I just came from being Menachem Rojo, a father of a teenager who was killed in a car accident. And the other said to him, I know what you're trying to tell me. You're trying to say that I have nothing to complain about. But maybe, because I was with my father for so many years, maybe I miss him more. Maybe I miss him more. Rosh Hashanah appreciated the response and he used to quote it. After the initial shock of Rosh Hashanah's particular world, and the memories started to surface and continued to surface, we realized how much we miss Rosh Hashanah. The years that we had him, because of that, we had him for so many years. Talmidim of 20 years, of 30 years, of 50 years. We miss him more. The more time we spend with him, the more he changed our lives, the more he guided us in small and big decisions. When we think about the Batman, when we think about the short walks home, which should take so long and could cover so many topics, we think about speaking with him for his encouragement, for his guidance, for his wisdom, his penetrating insight, his warmth and caring, and his humor, and usually a blend of all of them. We miss him terribly. At Lahaya, Rabbanim and children spoke about the Rosh Hashanah from vantage points of Rabbanim and children. As a Talmud, I want to add, so what Rav said, the perspective of Talmud. By Talmud, I mean primarily the Bnei Yeshiva who have the source to learn and live in these halls and the halls that preceded them. But also, the thousands from outside the Yeshiva, the Stalin, those who learned the Latin, Sarga, and those who learned from the Yeshiva from chance meetings. Your Shiva related to everyone, and everyone related to him. From the Talmud of the 70s, with the culture and background that they had, when he was within 20 years of that age, to the Talmud of the 90s, the 2020s, with their very different background, and very different culture, growing up in a very different community. And when he was up, maybe almost 70 years old than they were, he connected with all of us and changed all of us. From American boys came new recruits, the Ilam Atzer, Yeshiva Lad, Talmid HaChacham. From Baal Latin came inspired Bnei Torah, Oidei Hashem. Yeshiva Lad from other places, who may have concluded that Musa has nothing to offer them, discovered through the Batin, through the Sfarim, that Musa understood them better than they understood themselves and could teach them about themselves. Even from the left front, and not all from, came people who wanted to know more, and so maybe we can compare. And even with his last crisis, a month before his fever, I visited him in the hospital, he was very shocked. And over the next few hours, he spoke only a few words at a time and infrequently. At one point, the nurse came in, and he looked at his hand and softly said to her, "Three today?" And she didn't hear him, he had to repeat himself. "Three today?" And I looked and I saw that she was wearing three Mugging Doubles on a necklace. She was identifying herself intentionally as Jewish. I didn't even see it, but the Rosh Hashanah noticed it. He noticed that it was different from some previous day that he had seen her, and he called attention to it so that she should see that the religious rabbi noticed and appreciated what she was doing. After a lifetime of achievement, of being married to Torah and inspiring thousands of Talmidim to be Derech Hashem, to be Mechadish Zon Torah, revolutionizing the community, and with no purchase, he still perceived an opportunity to grab one more Yidden, and he caught the opportunity. It reminded me of a Rabbi when she once spoke a story about Rav Chaim Shalevitz. When the Rav Yavin was in there, Rosh Shiva and Baruch Haim read it and went there to Sarah. And when they came there, it was a great excitement that they arrived. And the Rav Shlomo came to Rav Shimon and said to him, Rav Shimon said, "No, with Chaim's voice, I can't do it." But Chaim said, "If you can't hire all of Hanno, if you gave such a love to the Lord, the Rebbe Tzinyahu." And the Rav Shimon said over at the time, "We're talking about a man who led the new yeshiva through the war, whose brilliant children and children took over the world, and he's jealous of my own Hanno for the Hanno that I gave to the Baba that made him feel good." And his also was, "Erge den Azab Baal Taibu Nisfusen." Rashid is given Azab Baal Taibu Nisfusen. Azab Baal Taibu Kulchimayim. Azab Baal Taibu Nishmeh Zanitzus. For his mitzvahs, for other people's mitzvahs. He had to take a hold of this opportunity. Because maybe she could be reached, maybe. Erge den Azab Baal Taibu to teach Taibu. That when the yeshiva got thrown out by a neighbor, he would keep teaching Taibu anyway. Erge den Azab Baal Taibu to learn Taibu. Working on himself for all his life, with a son of Ashur like him. He took pride in all his family because he appreciated them, their shaking, and their challenges. He took fierce pride in the medical student who took a Shabbat internship because it gave him more flexibility for Shabbos because he understood his life. He took a fierce pride in the businessman who might see that for honesty and he never knew Shabbat. Because it was marriage to his son, and understood what it was like to see colleagues who were maybe less careful and looked like they were getting ahead. He was incredibly proud of the army of Talmidim who were sitting and studying, teaching Torah, learning Torah, Bible, being Maaser Nefesh, Maaser Nefesh, financial Maaser Nefesh, and not Maaser Nefesh. I remember once he spoke in Lakewood by an online gathering, and he said, "I understand what it's like that you're sitting in a room of 1,000 people learning, looking over your shoulder, measuring yourself up." And we wondered afterwards, how do you know that? He never experienced anything like that in his life. He probably never learned in the assumption of more than 100 people. But he understood it because of how deeply he connected with his Talmidim, and he understood because of how deeply he understood people. The chosar also lights up. He understood people's weaknesses, their self-doubts, and also their endless potential. He could speak to us in that, you know, one day comparing different types of chocolate, and the next day by a shmooze could speak about comparing the different kinds of malachim, comparing the highest akarish negative sachem, the different levels. One of the things he was teaching was that you may be more interested today in chocolate, but you could still have a shakis and develop the tongue of malachim. In climbing Jacob's ladder, the Rashi was quoted as saying, "He did not expect us to remember anything he said." What he was doing was building honeycombs, a framework of outlook that we would fill later with our own experiences. It's certainly true that he built the honeycomb with thousands of Talmudim. I wonder if he was selling himself short. The Talmudim I've been speaking with over the past month remember a great deal about him. With the Nusach. How did he say, well, this thing, what it was exactly what he said? Had he answered his shayla about the symposium? And people took notes. And Baruch Hashem, in addition to the notes, Baruch Hashem, we had recordings, we had the sfarim. And Talmidim, when we're revisiting those shayla, are discovering that they weren't just meaningful to wide-eyed teenagers. They're powerful lessons for mature and intelligent adults. And how many people who never entered the doors of Yeshiva Paragway say that their lives have been changed from learning and listening to the Rabbi? How many people who never met the Rosh Yeshiva feel like they knew him and that he knew them? And who could forget the others? He used to give us homework, particularly those who were working on it by bad. And he would have to report back, and he would report back as an active participant, not just a teacher. We're working on MS, you said it, you have to be without exaggerating, even expressions that aren't precise, like I'll be back in a second, you want to tell me to go to one of the articles. Do you need a second? Think about how you're speaking. To say Hei Shmaya with all your pledges, it means go and say Hei Shmaya with all your pledges, without paying any attention to all the looks you're getting in the shul that you're in. He was training an army of strong, thinking, aware Oite Hashem to correct an adult who's doing Shema Karava politely, respectfully. He was teaching Torah. And then the radical problem, of course. So I remember that by this bimah, I made a clap on the bimah last night, I made an announcement. I remember how much I was shaking afterwards. But I'm shaking less now because of it. And I was told afterwards that behind me there was people smiling. And to borrow a phrase, there was Shiva paraphrase from Heinrich Levitz. As their shlevel, varim l'chaim, there was Shiva's approval. And he taught by his own example. He insisted that the Sfarim, both the Babylon and the Shishan Salam, would be written in English. Does the pastor of Shiva defend his Sfarim in English? The Tara says he didn't care. That the goal wasn't how it would be perceived, but who would gain from it. And if more people would gain from the Sfarim being written in English, then that's an end. The Talmud told me a story. During COVID, Yeshiva had a second minion during Yom Ha'aron in the gym. And he got to the other. And after Yom Ha'aron, he received a check in the mail from Yeshiva. He returned it. But he said, the Yeshiva didn't call me to say, I would like to pay you for that and for the Yom. He didn't call me to say, would you like to be paid for that and for the Yom? Because he knew that I would be put on the spot and maybe I would feel pressure to answer that I don't want it, even if I did. And he said, not either. The Yeshiva could have said, this is the Yeshiva's money, this is not my money. For the Yeshiva's money himself, I can go with what the Abraham is, and if he chooses to decline the money, I don't have to give it to him. But he did it. That was a nice comment. I want to bring out a point that I think we see in this Maisa that maybe the Talmud didn't pick up. I think what you see from this Maisa is a Talmud who's mechonech and learning about the story. Here, how he analyzed the story, how he took it apart into the different elements and made a leave of it. A few weeks ago, there was a day that I was receiving from a lot of Talmudim. There were so many stories. And the stories were as varied as the Talmudim are. Hatzav HaShavah Shabbat was Talmudim interpreting, dissecting, and taking apart a story, keeping the limud. Later I realized what the Rosh Hashiva was saying to me, thinking about the story, thinking back about the story years later. He taught us to analyze stories and to analyze life. As the kasha, to look at like a sugyo. As the kasha, say parents. He taught us to analyze ourselves, our motives, our desires. As he used to say, Muslim is really learning about what makes you tick. And as I said, he wasn't only, always, just encouraging us and making us feel good. He could be blunt also. I remember when I was like, I used to go by Shalash Shabbos. Have Shalosh Shabbos quickly, and I would walk out to the lake. And walk on the lake during sunset. It's beautiful. I was very taken by it. And who could I share an experience like that with? So one time I met the Rosh Hashiva, and I told him what I was doing. And I asked him, did the Rosh Hashiva, when he was in the lake, did he ever go down to the lake and see what it was like by sunset? And he said to me, frankly, when I was in Lakewood, I didn't waste any time. Because actually we went very passionate with the Shiva Rebbe. The Chizogin, as their family, makes me cringe on hand. Rebbe said that the Shiva was not too cautious as a father, was not too cautious to play games with them and to read stories to them. We can say, 40 and 50 years later, when he was even more cautious, and from the city of Shvitas of America, he was not too cautious for his grandchildren and for his great-grandchildren. He wasn't too cautious to invent stories for them. Daring adventures about man and Nath and the shark. Teaching them lessons about themselves. He wasn't too cautious to make funny faces at little children. He could reach down to the children and ask them thoughtful questions. He used to ask, do you think it's better to be big or little? And he was teaching them the way, same way he taught us, to think that our opinions were valuable and interesting to somebody like him. For several weeks every year, the phone calls were coming from grandchildren, asking him to help them get their children into high schools or kindergartens. And he did, at the same time as withdrawing the system that required it. And people opened doors to him. During the act of the Shiva, Talmidim were speaking with each other, and some expressed a feeling, and I can't say this is a representative sample, but some said that when they left the Shiva, they felt some kind of a sense of a disappointment. What was the reason for that? So, a smart man in the Hindu told me that when they went into the Shiva, they were looking, the person they wanted to speak to was the Rosh Hashiva himself. And it's true. Well, we spoke about it, and different people said it different ways. But as one person put it, it's not fair that we don't get to sit shiva. It's not fair that we, Talmidim, don't get to sit shiva. One goes to the shiva to be menachem avinu, but we need it in the chama ourselves, to express our feelings, to say our own stories, what we had, to talk about what we had, what we lost, and what we missed so much. I want to share an amazing story that I heard about Shiva. There was a Talmud's father who had a chavrusa many years. This chavrusa was not there. And the chavrusa was driving to the lab. And he got a phone call from Rosh Hashiva. And I don't know if his father had a personal relationship with Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva called and said, "I understand that you're going to your chavrusa many years. And you're not sitting Shiva." The Rishiva understood what he was dealing with, understood what his aggregation were, and reached out to Talibat. And the Rishiva understood all of us. And if he called it, Rishiva would call every one of us and say, "I understand what you're going through. I know what you lost. You lost your Nebi. You lost your father. You lost your Rishiva. You lost your God to life. You lost your everything. I understand. And you're not getting to sit Shiva. I feel your hurt." And the answer is, we do need to come. And the essence is that each of us has to comfort each other, to talk, to share, and to express. Not just one person standing in a microphone and everyone listening, but a close group of chaverim sitting around the table, sitting in a room, and sharing. By our rabbi from Sidur Gertzai, Talmidim gathered in a brother Benil's house for an amazing session. If anyone who saw it or was there, they took turns briefly sharing feelings and stories. It was intimate. It was authentic. It was open. It was real. We need those gatherings in Parakaway, in Brooklyn, in Lakewood, in Yerushalayim, and everywhere. We need it for ourselves, for our Chalamet to help us to continue to shine from the Rosh Hashiva's example. But the Rosh Hashiva himself is mukta to be remembered without our efforts. The Navi Yeshaya says, "When a sapling in the base of Chagoy say Yad Hashem, Toyin Bori was, Shadar Eteloi, Hashem Yikaris." Radak asks, "What's the lashon Nesina? When a sapi and Shadar Eteloi, what's the Nesina?" The Radak says that even though the mice of all people are remembered, "Al biyos ha'adam toy b'fnei lekim, u'mice of the karavan toyvam." When there's someone who's especially tight with Nehli Kim, and his nicest, or the rip of the Kalama, Hashem puts in the hearts of people to be masquerade Kalayam. The Rosh Hashiva, who defined tight with Nehli Kim, and personified nicest with Kalama Taiva, has Hashem's guarantee that he will be nice in the Levi's Bnei Adam, to be Maskiroi, Kol Ayyamim, Hashem Oilam Et Elam, forever. And the Rosh Hashiva used to say, "Do you know how long forever is? After a million years, forever hasn't gotten started yet. Yehi Zichro Baruch L'Oilam." Thank you. Myra now says 9 o'clock, regular Myra is at 9:30.
Thank you.